Don't trip over the cord there. Well, take your Bibles if you would, please, and let's open together again to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we looked at verse 16 last time, and we talked about the prophets of Scripture. Not the prophets as in the spokesmen, but the P-R-O-F-I-T-S, the usefulness, the profitability of the Word of God. And this morning we're going to look at its purpose. What is the purpose of all Scripture? We find it stated very concisely here in 2 Timothy 3, verse 17. It says, and I encourage you, grab a Bible, follow along. 2 Timothy 3:17 says, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. A quick reminder of the context here, because it's always important. Remember, this is the Apostle Paul's last letter. He was literally dying when he wrote it. He said, my life is being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. He was writing it to his beloved son in the faith, Timothy, somebody who was going to follow in Paul's footsteps, be a preacher and a teacher of God's word. And he was equipping Timothy for the difficult days to come. Remember that from last time, verse 1 of chapter 3? But know this, that in the last days, perilous or difficult times will come. Why? It's because of the way people are going to be, right? That's why it's going to be so difficult to live and minister in the last days. People are going to be, chapter 3, verse 2, lovers of themselves and lovers of money and boasters and proud. And we went through that list last time, and I think we all realize we live in the last days. And many people are like this. And also it says they love pleasure more than they love God. A Sunday morning is not for church, not for worship, not for Scripture. Sunday morning is for everything but that. Right? I mean, everything but that, literally. And that makes it difficult to be a Christian in the last days. Makes it difficult to be a minister, a servant of God in the last days. So how are you supposed to endure? In fact, how are you supposed to thrive? How are you supposed to live joyfully in the last days? He says it in verse 14. You must continue. You need to keep going. You need to not forsake. You need to continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. We learned last time that's a reference to what Paul had taught, which we have in the New Testament Scriptures. And then verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You need to continue in all the Scriptures. You need to continue in the Old Testament Scriptures. You need to continue in the New Testament Scriptures. You need to be in the book. That's how you can not merely thrive and live and survive. That's how you can thrive. Sorry, I messed something up there. That's how you can thrive, not merely survive in the last days. And if you stay in the Word of God, you can live and serve God with joy regardless of the circumstances. When Paul said, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances, he'd learned that by being a man of this book. So God has, in his grace and for our own good, given us this book. In verse 16, he makes this great statement about all the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We learned last time that means that this is all God-breathed. And that means it shares some of the same attributes of God. God is holy. The Bible is holy. God is living and powerful. The Bible is living and powerful. And so it's all God-breathed. It shares some of God's same attributes, and it's all profitable for doctrine, which we learned is the process, the activity of teaching. This is useful for teaching other people. It's useful for teaching yourself. It's useful for reproof. When somebody goes astray from the teaching, you help them to see that they are astray by using the book to help them see that. It's profitable for correction, bringing them back to a right path. It's profitable for training them or instructing them in all righteousness. But why? Why give us a book that shares God's same attributes and is useful for these things? Here's why. Verse 17. That. Stop there. That. Some of your Bibles say, in order that. And some of you might remember back in the grammar days, we had grammar. Remember that? Remember, anybody remember grammar? English grammar. in order that introduces a purpose clause. Here is a concise statement of God's purpose in giving us all Scripture, Old and New Testaments. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I just want to use three questions to serve as an outline for our very brief time in this verse this morning. Three questions. Number one, who exactly is the man of God? Question number two, what does it mean to be complete, thoroughly equipped? And number three, if you are a man of God with a Bible, what good works are you thoroughly equipped to do? Okay? So first of all, who's the man of God? He says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you and I were to sit down for the next hour and pull out all the commentaries in the church library and all the study Bibles, you would generally find that in all of them, there is one of two answers to that question. Who is the man of God? Some of you might have a study Bible open in front of you. Many study Bibles and commentaries say the man of God is a technical term for the preacher, right? It's that the man of God, i.e. the preacher, the pastor teacher, the spokesperson of God. I think certainly you can see how they get that from the context. Paul is talking to a preacher. He follows it up with preach the word. In fact, if you look further into the commentaries or a study Bible, or if you use a concordance, you can find that the man of God, that phrase, was used of Moses, Samuel, David, Elijah, and most often in the Old Testament of Elisha. And you almost have kind of a parallel here. You have Paul, who's passing on the mantle to Timothy. And so all of that might say, listen, all Scripture was given in order that the man of God, i.e. the spokesperson for God, the preacher, teacher, the pastor, teacher, might be, and what does it say, complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. But then you'd find that half the commentaries or half the study Bibles disagree. And they say, no, let's not make it specific, because then what? What's the problem with that view? Well, it sounds like it's for the guy in the pulpit and not you in the pew. Right? And so you find that about half the commentaries and study Bibles say, No, this is a general reference to any man, woman, or child of God. All Scripture is given that the person who knows God or the person who is born of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. But then you can guess how the first group tries to bolster their argument and say, no, look at the context, it's very specific, I'll take you back to the Old Testament. And so you know what you can feel like? You can feel like, I don't know, I'm stuck. I mean, I kind of like this guy, and he makes really good arguments. Sounds like it's the preacher. But then this person, they say it's more general, and they say it's the people. So the correct answer is yes or both. I knew that you would know this. All Scripture is given that, can we say that the pastor at least? Well, of course. Certainly that the man of God at least, that he would be complete and thoroughly furnished for every good work. But let's go back and ask, for what purpose did Christ give preachers? What is the purpose of the man of God? If the man of God is a preacher or a pastor teacher, for what purpose did Christ give him or them to the church? I won't have you turn there for the sake of time, but in Ephesians 4:12, the purpose for pastor teachers is clearly stated. You might recall, it says that Christ gave some to be pastor teachers for, Ephesians 4:12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. In other words, Pastor Dan and Pastor Jerry and I, we exist, we've been given to the local church for the express purpose of equipping all the saints to do the work of the ministry. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, by what means? The Scripture. And to equip you with what tools? The Scripture. In order that all the people would be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. It's not either or. And in fact, the best commentators will not argue strongly that it is only for the man of God. They will say it is for the man of God to become an example and a pattern for others so that all the people of God would be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. Beloved, here's why I focus on that. Whatever you do, do not believe that the Scripture was given for me and not for you. Because that is not true, but that is something I know that you would never do. Because you know, right? You know this is not merely for the professional clergy or the full-time paid pastor, staff person. This is for all the people of God. Right? This is for all of us. So speaking by way of application, we could say all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable, given for the purpose that all of us, you and I both, would be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. One more note on that. Even if, as some commentators do, they go back to the Old Testament and say, but man of God was used for Elijah and Elisha and Moses, here's a question. Why was that the term used to refer to those men? Do you know why? It was because they were to be examples to everyone else. That's why. They were to be the people others were to become like. And so again, all Scripture is given that the man of God, as a pattern for all the people of God, might be thoroughly equipped so that all the people of God would be thoroughly equipped. It's for all of us. Second question. So what does it mean exactly to be complete, thoroughly equipped? Are these two ways of saying the same thing? Are these kind of two different things? What exactly does that mean? I want you to imagine for a moment that you are a soldier and you are headed off to battle. Okay? Today. Today you are deploying. You are headed out to war. So, question number one, do you need to be fit, as in mentally, physically, spiritually, do you yourself need to be fit in order to fight? Yes or no? Yes. You need to be fit, okay? Which is why all the warriors and the soldiers, they go through a fitness program, which is to fit them mentally, emotionally, for battle. Do you also need to be outfitted, as in equipped with gear, proper clothing, boots, a helmet, weapons, offensive and defensive? Do you need to be both fit and outfitted in order to fight? Yes or no? Yes, you need to also be outfitted. Now, a quick aside, this does not mean that men wear outfits. See, I almost was going to cave. Some of you know there's a long-standing discussion that I have with my wife, honey, guys don't wear outfits. She might say, that's a nice outfit. And I say, guys don't wear outfits. Ladies wear outfits. Guys don't. On the other hand, men, we do like outfitters. Amen? Right? We like outfitters. So men need outfitters, honey. But we don't wear outfits. Just kidding. See if you're paying attention. But we do need to be fit and outfitted. And it's like that with Scripture. In the same way that a soldier headed off to battle needs to be fit and outfitted to fight, in the same way, if you're a worker of God, you need to be fit and outfitted for the work. You need to be fit mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and outfitted with the tools that you need to accomplish the task and fulfill the mission. All Scripture is given for both of those purposes. All right, notice again what it says. In order that, this is a purpose statement for why Scripture is God-breathed and profitable. It's in order that the man of God may be fit. That's the first one. And by the way, a quick note about verb tenses here. It's in order that the man of God may be fit, having already been thoroughly outfitted with Scripture. This is already given as sufficient outfitting for us to do the work, but it's also given that we may be and become over time more and more fit for the work that we do. All right, we already have the Scriptures, so we're furnished with what we need, but also this changes us and makes us more and more fit for the work that God's called us to do. And that's what he's saying here. So all Scripture is given, going back to 3:16, by inspiration of God, or it's God-breathed, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, in order that the man of God might be fit, and thoroughly outfitted for every good work. So third question. What good works is a man of God fit for and outfitted for if he has a Bible? What good works is the man of God outfitted for and fit for if he has a Bible? Verse 17. Every one of them. Right? He says that he might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All of them. And every one of them individually. In other words, there are no good works for which a godly person with a Bible is not equipped to perform. This points to the sufficiency of Scripture. Right? Now, there are four good works in the previous verse. There is the work of teaching. When it says Scripture is profitable for doctrine or teaching, that means, as we learned last time, you can use all Scripture to teach yourself and to teach others about God and man and sin and salvation and Christ and the church and the Christian life and the end times and so forth. You're also thoroughly furnished to reprove. That means to help someone see that they've gone astray from the truth. You're well equipped for correction. That is to help someone get back on the right path. And you're well equipped for training others to walk in a manner pleasing to God. So in light of that, now I want you to think about the following. What about the good work of raising children? What about the good work of raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Is the Scripture sufficient to make you fit and outfitted as a parent? Absolutely. This is sufficient. Is it sufficient to make you fit and outfitted as a grandparent? Absolutely. The Scriptures are sufficient. So what about the good work of evangelism? Of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to other people? Is the Scripture sufficient to make you proficient as an evangelist? Yes, it is. That's the whole purpose. Right? It's given that you would become fit and outfitted for the good work of telling others about Jesus Christ. Nothing more needed. What about the good work of apologetics, defending the gospel? Is that just for the elite somewhere? For the one guy that's got a radio show in the afternoons? Is that for the guy that's got a big website? No. Scripture is sufficient to make you fit and outfitted to defend the faith. Well, what would you use? The Scriptures. What about the good work of discipleship, of training someone else? If you're an older woman, what about the good work of training a younger woman to love her husband, to love her family, right? To be sensible, pure, a good keeper at home, and so forth? Is Scripture sufficient to make you fit and outfitted as an older woman? Absolutely. What about the work of discipleship if you're an older man and you've been walking with the Lord for some years and Christ says, make disciples? Is Scripture sufficient to make you fit and outfitted as a discipler? Absolutely. What about the good work of being a good worker at work? What about that good work? Being a light for Jesus Christ in your workplace. Is Scripture sufficient to fit you and outfit you to be a good dentist, teacher, truck driver? Name your occupation that's within the limits of godliness. Yes. What about the good work of serving others in love in the local church? Is Scripture sufficient to fit you and outfit you to be a fruitful, functioning member of the body of Christ? Absolutely. So why do I ask it as questions? Can a Christian say, a Christian who has the Bible, can a Christian say, I just don't have what I need to do my work. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough clothing. I don't have enough training. What did David say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, which means lack. It means he's my shepherd, I don't lack for anything, I have him. And then he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, which we studied one time. The rod and the staff are found here, right? This is where he has his instruments to guide us and correct us and instruct us. So the Lord in his goodness has given us this great book. All of it's God-breathed. it's a lot like Him. It shares His attributes. He's good all the time, and so is His Word. He's holy all the time, so is His Word. Right? God is active all the time, and so is His Word. And all this is to the end that you and I would become fit and thoroughly outfitted for every good work. Doing the work of ministry is not a matter of money. It's not a matter of professional education. Sure, I mean, if you have a budget for some things, that's great. And if you have some extra education in something, wonderful. I'm not saying that's not helpful. I'm just saying that Scripture is sufficient. And we don't lack if we don't have those things. It's not even a matter of having enough space. If only we had a bigger building, then we could really witness to people. If only we had more singers, boy, then we could really worship. Like the one guy said, you know, if only we had a stage and lights, then we could worship. Really? You need a stage and lights or a drummer. Actually, doing the work of ministry is not even a matter of having enough help. Dare I say, one man or woman of God with the Scriptures can do a great deal of good work for God, even if no one else helps. That's true. On the other hand, praise God for Christian workers. Praise God that we're not alone. Praise God for those who are fellow workers. But shame on those who call themselves Christians and have been equipped with the Scriptures, but do not follow in the footsteps of Christ and do not join in fruitful ministry. Shame on them. Why? Because the Scriptures were given for the very purpose of making us fit and outfitted for all kinds, for every kind of good work. So one last question. Why? Why give us a book that is God-breathed, that is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness? Why give us a book that makes us fit and makes us fully outfitted for every good work? Why would He do that? And the answer is because God is a saving God. See, it is the desire of God to save. Right? God who desires all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's desire. If you want to know God's desire, it is that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So when He saves people, He equips them with what they need to become fit and outfitted to do His work to bring other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how good our God is. This is a demonstration of not only His love for us, but of His desire to save others. As we go to prayer, I want to make use of the acronym ACTS. You've probably heard of that, A-C-T-S. We should adore God for what He's given us in His Word. We should praise Him and express our love to Him for giving us a book in which He's revealed Himself and in which He's equipped us to do the work of ministry. We should see, confess. A is adoration, C is confession. We should confess, all of us together, that we probably do not make as much use of this as we ought. This was never given to us to sit on a shelf from Sunday to Sunday, but to be pulled out and used and carried with and made the most of all the days of our lives. We should thank. We should thank God for His patience with us. We are works in progress. We should thank God that He is patient with us while we grow, while we learn, while we stumble, and while we struggle. And S, supplication, which means asking God for things. We should express our request to God that He continue to be patient, that He give us strength and wisdom, and that He help us make full use of this great gift. Let's pray. Father God, we adore You and we praise You. What a great God You are. We thank You so much for giving us Your Word. And I confess, and I think I confess on behalf of many here, that we fail in many ways to make full use of what You've given us in all Scripture. Father, I pray that You would continue to be patient. We thank You for being long-suffering with us. We thank You for Your grace, Your compassion, Your understanding. And we pray, Father, that You would help us in the days ahead to make more use, better use, more full use of the Word of God, and to keep growing deeper and stronger in our understanding of Your love and in our love for others. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.